the retired man. He's the loudest one. Doing good. We're going to teach out of the book of 1 Samuel tonight, so you can go ahead and find your place. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Okay, tonight the topic is going to be connection. Thinking about connection, talking about connection. You know, our connection, our ability to connect has really evolved over the years. Western Union was one of the first means of us connecting across states and across large distances, and that was carried on horseback and through wagons. And then the connections were done by telegraph. And nobody, does anybody remember the telegraph? Okay, good. Okay, huh? Saw it on Gunsmoke. Okay. I didn't know how far we reached back here. Then the telephone, right? The telephone came next, and you know, then we had the television and the radio bringing information in, and then the telephone became cordless, so you could move around the house a little bit. I remember before we cut the cord on the telephone, I was for some reason, I understand it now as an adult, but I didn't understand it when I was a kid, that it was a bad thing to jump over the telephone cord while mama was on it. Evidently, that's annoying, or to go under it even. I mean, you know, especially if you got to go back and forth. Y'all remember how long the cords used to get? Am I talking? Does everybody know this? Okay, remember that? Okay, and then it went wireless, and you could get around the house and even out in the yard. That was a pretty cool deal. And then we went to cell phones, didn't we? Who has a cell phone? Everybody has a cell phone, and then there was a new form of connection that has emerged, and I'm not really participating in it, but I'm guessing most of us are. Social media. So you got, I think, MySpace was one of the first ones, and you guys helped me out. What was one of the first ones? We don't know, do we? We got in late, okay? But everybody knows Facebook. Everybody knows that Facebook is connecting the world right now, and Facebook has about 1.7 billion active users. They had about 1.7 billion active users in the first quarter of 2016. Just to give you an idea of what that is, China, their entire population, the most populous country on the planet, this population is 1.4 billion. So Facebook is the largest, if you were to just, you know, look at it this way, it's the largest country in the world. And it's just all this connected thing through the internet. And actually about 7 billion people check their accounts at least once a month. That's not really an active user, but over 7 billion accounts that get touched once a month. That's an amazing amount of connection across our existence. And the funny part is, for me to learn, because I was just kind of interested, it took me about 30 seconds to get that information. All I had to do was just Google it, I could have used Bing, I could have used other sources, but because we have all this information at our fingertips, I could come up with accurate information like that in just a few seconds. Now, you remember back when we used to use things like world books and encyclopedias and that sort of thing? You wouldn't, would you get a refresh? We didn't have them because we couldn't afford them, but I assume there was a certain amount of refresh to them, or you would keep them all through your school year so your information was always dated. But you'd never find information like that. So we're a very informed people right now, and we're a very connected people. I've learned that in the world, and especially in the business world, connections and network means a whole lot. Who you know and who trusts you and who's out there looking out for you, that means a whole lot. But I've also learned in my short life and getting longer every minute, is my connection with God means everything. Connections across this planet with other people is interesting, but our connection with God is everything. So we've got to stay connected with God. We've got to stay connected with God. I got 3 points tonight. There is power in connection. No connection, no favor. There is direction in connection. No connection, no direction. There is comfort in connection. No connection, no protection. I count on God for those things and much more. But in order to have those things, we must remain connected with our God. Now, so let's look. I want to look a little bit at the life of Saul. The life of Saul in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Give you time to get there. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Now, Kish, it goes through his lineage a little bit here, but down in verse 2 it says, "And Kish had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was none among the children of Israel godlier than he. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people." So Saul, in this description here, in our King James Bible, Saul was godly. I would say Saul was connected, because when you looked at Saul, he had a favor that caused him to stand out above the crowd, amongst the crowd. He was shining. He was goodlier. He was a goodly and a godlier person. And from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now, you could look at that in height. You can look at that in stature. You could look at that as prominence. But he stood out when he was in a crowd. He was noticed. So Saul found himself in a situation, okay? And I won't go through all the verses, but Kish, remember Kish is Saul's father, Kish had a problem. He had, his donkeys had gotten loose, and his donkeys were missing. He said, "Hey son, hey Saul, go track down my donkeys and find them for me, okay?" So Saul was out looking for donkeys. This was his sole purpose for the day, was to go find these donkeys. He was in a situation where the donkeys were his focus, and he had to go get those donkeys. Now, I got to tell you, I've been dealing with some donkeys recently. I have. I've got a lot of donkeys around me right now. Any of you guys ever have to deal with donkeys? Yeah? So these donkeys come into our life, and sometimes we wonder, what's the purpose of this? Why am I dealing with this? So I don't know how people get through life without Christ and without God's Word. So today I was dealing with a particular set of donkeys. And I'm in a, you know, I had progressed through the day I started out irritated. And I went from irritated to bothered. And I went from bothered by the afternoon, I'm just redneck mad, Brother Lee. I mean, I'm just burning inside, mad. I don't get to act mad, so I gotta be professional. Yeah. So I'm sitting at this conference room table with, you know, some friendlies and some donkeys. And I'm sitting there, and it's gonna be my turn to speak pretty soon. I know it's coming up. And I'm so mad I can't even hardly see straight. So what am I going to do? How am I going to contain myself, because it's burning hot? So I write down on my paper in front of me, S-H-S-S-S-W. S-H-S-S-S-W. Because I'm asking God, what am I going to do here? I'm mad, I'm bothered, and I can't let that show. And he gave me a thought. And it was in these letters, S-H-S-S-S-W. And swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I wrote that down because I didn't want the donkey sitting beside me to know what I was thinking. I needed something to focus in on. So, because we have God's Word, that's out of the book of James, that God tells us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That told me to sit there. I could stare at those letters, and I could sit there, and I could be quiet. I could listen and get myself calmed down, and I could know that God wouldn't be pleased with me being wrathful at that moment. I don't know how you contain it otherwise, because my flesh needed to deal with some donkeys. So, Saul was out dealing with these donkeys, okay? He was on a mission to handle that business. Well, God had other plans for Saul. God needed Saul in a certain spot. So the way God got him in that spot was the donkeys were loose. Go find the donkeys. God had something waiting on him in the middle of that search. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15. Now the Lord had told, he had something waiting for Saul, and the Lord had told Samuel in his ear before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come to me." God took his prophet and put it in his ear that there's a boy out there that's going to come into your sight, and you're going to anoint him as king over Israel. And not because I'm just looking for a king, but because I heard my people's cry, and I'm reacting to that cry, and I'm setting up a goodly person. I'm setting up a godly person. I'm setting up someone who is higher, someone who can go handle this business for us. So God answers the cries of his people. He hears and he sends help. God, I would say, don't stop asking God for his help and strength in your life. Because he does hear it. And in verse 17, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." So on his quest to deal with the donkeys, he put favor on Saul and put him in the place where Samuel could choose him. So Saul had favor, and this favor went before him. This favor went before him. It was there waiting on him. And God can send his favor to meet you as well. So every time you've prospered in your life, you should really focus on the fact that you were given favor around that prosperity. It probably wasn't talent. It probably wasn't intelligence. It probably wasn't skill. It's all God, all God's blessing every time. So that tells me that we really need God's favor. We need God's favor to advance. We need God's favor to survive. We need God's favor. We need a connection with God so that we can have God's favor. So God connected Samuel and Saul for his purpose. Not for Saul's purpose, not for Samuel's purpose, but for his purpose, because he had something he needed to do that was bigger than both of them. It was for his children in Israel. He needed a leader that he could trust in that situation. So you may feel like you're dealing with a bunch of donkeys, but just know that you're in a place. And if we're seeking God's will and fighting to stay in God's will and trying to keep ourselves in a position where we can be blessed and where we can honor Him, then sometimes there are going to be some donkeys in the story. And sometimes it's going to take that to get us in that spot where God can use us. So don't forget that Saul was chosen, okay? Saul was chosen. You remember back in the first verse we read, God was favoring Saul. He was godly, he was goodly, he was higher, and he was God's chosen king through his prophet. And don't lose that in this story. So let's go to chapter 13. Now, God allows Saul to become king, and he took the throne, and he reigned for several years. He reigned for several years, and God's favor was on him, and God gave him many victories as king. He was in a good spot. He was doing what God would have him do. So, Saul began his reign as a humble person. He couldn't have had the favor without the humility, Brother Lee. He couldn't have been chosen without being humble. His first encounter with Samuel, when Samuel told him that he was anointing him in chapter 9, verse 21. And Saul answered. Now, this is when Samuel came up and said, "Hey, we're going to anoint you as king." Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" So he said, "Hey, you want me to be king? I don't even have the right last name. I'm not from the right tribe. We're the least. I'm the least. I'm not up for this." That's the kind of attitude, and that's the kind of people that God can use. Because God can direct people like that. God can direct us when we're humble. When we become arrogant and we become full of ourselves, God can't move that type of person. Because we can't even hear Him. We're not listening anymore. That's a dangerous place to be. That's when we start losing our connection. Pride goeth before destruction. Anybody in here ever been prideful? Have you ever paid for it? I have. And Saul was no exception in this case, unfortunately. So Saul got himself in a place where he was waiting on Samuel to offer up an offering for the people. Now, he was connected with God's man. He was connected with the prophet. And that was a partnership. And Saul had his job, which was to be king and to count on the Lord and to have victories for his kingdom and to provide and protect. And Samuel had his king, his job. And Samuel's job was to minister to the king, to minister to the people, and to offer the sacrifices and the offerings on behalf of the people. Well, Saul was waiting on Samuel to arrive, and it was time for them to go do a burnt offering. And Saul got impatient. So he took the job of the prophet, and he said, "I'm going to do this burnt offering on my own. I've seen it done before. I'm obviously the king, and I get to make choices. And when I say go here, people go here. When I say go there, people go there. And I don't feel so humble anymore because I've been running this thing for a few years, and people sing songs about me, and there are statues built about me, and I'm starting to believe it, and I just might be the best king and the best person that's ever walked this earth." So he went from that humility to making decisions out of a place of arrogance. So he did that. So he did that. In Samuel 13:11-14, he had offered that burnt offering, and Samuel showed up and said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. You reached out and touched something. You reached out and grabbed something that wasn't yours. You don't have the right. It's not your position. Leave it alone. Who else did that? Moses did that. Great man of God. Struck a rock. God said, speak to it. David. David. We'll talk more about David later. David reached out for something that didn't belong to him. Yep. God has rules. God has rules that He can either bless us or not bless us. He has guidelines. I was talking to someone today, and we were talking about a common issue we have in our work. And this guy, he's kind of a scientist, and he's walking through some of the numbers with me. And I said, you know what? I've been doing this for a few years now, and every time I try to work against that math, I lose. It's a natural phenomena in the universe. No matter what language you run those numbers in, no matter how you do it, even back when they were building pyramids, math is math. And if you work against those numbers will prevail. So we're going to go by the data. We're going to go by the numbers. And he said, amen. He didn't say amen. But he was feeling amen. That's the way scientists say amen. They go, I agree. There are laws within this book that you cannot deviate from. We cannot deviate from. We can't get smarter than those laws. We can't get smarter than those rules. We can't get better than that. It will bite us every time. Saul found himself in that situation. He said, thou hast done foolishly. Foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded. We can lose our connection when we become arrogant. When we reach for the things that God says no to, we can lose our connection. This scares me. I didn't say lose salvation. It never came out of my mouth. We can't lose our salvation. We can lose our connection. We can lose our blessing. And it scares me to death that my arrogance can mess it up. It ought to scare every single one of us that our arrogance and our pride and our self-worth can mess it up. It did for Saul. No connection, no favor. No favor, no winning. So we all know that God moved His favor from Saul to another humble little boy. Who was that? That was David. Same prophet. The prophet didn't go anywhere. Same God's man. So the prophet stayed in position because the prophet stayed within the bounds of what God asked him to do. The king is going to fall. The most powerful worldly position is going to fall because he didn't stay in the role that God would have him in. And it says, at that moment, God already looked for and chose another person. So no connection, no favor. No connection, no direction. Saul got in a position where he was having to make his own decisions. He didn't have the connection. He didn't have Samuel anymore. Samuel had to ask him out. Samuel had to ask him out. I told a guy yesterday, he was talking over me. And then he talked over me, and I just sat there. And he said, what do you think about that, Randy? I said, well, I was talking when you started. So I think you think the world revolves around you, and I didn't hear a word you said. And what I'm going to do to show you that that I don't think the world revolves around you is I'm going to ice you out for the next 5 minutes. I was just joking around, but I was trying to tell the guy, you don't talk over people. Come on, man. But Samuel had to officially ice Saul out. He had to officially ice Saul out because he couldn't keep that relationship up. So Saul, in verse 19, verse 1, 1 Samuel, Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all the servants. And here we go. It's starting to get brutal, and he's starting to make some really good decisions now, that they should kill David. Okay, I feel threatened. I know I don't have favor anymore. Who is it out there that's got the favor? Let's take them out. Let's take them out. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will communion with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and he said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou servant, thou sawest and didst rejoice. Wherefore, when wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. No connection, no direction. Saul had in his heart to kill David. Saul was still king at this time. Saul had the highest authority in the land. David had no authority. David was nothing against this king. But because David had favor, and because David had connection, David was starting to get protection. David couldn't plead his own case because he wasn't in the conversation. David wasn't invited to the discussion of where they were talking about killing him. David wasn't in the room, and he would have had no insight had God not sent someone in the room to plead his case on his behalf. If we stay in connection, God will give us that protection when we're not even in the room. God will put someone in the room to speak on our behalf and to protect us. Jonathan did that for David. David couldn't speak for himself. And it said in the verse, David was only doing good. And I guarantee you, everybody, when you're doing good, won't be your fan. And God will place advocates to speak on your behalf and to protect you. And we count on God for that protection. We count on God for that favor, because we can't be there. So with God's favor, David had that protection. So they can't hurt you, Brother Lee, because they don't own you. Yeah. You testified that about 3 months ago, didn't you? You don't remember it, but I do, because the Holy Ghost used that to speak to me. They can't hurt you because they don't own you. Jesus bought us with a price at the cross. And He'll be there to speak on our behalf. He'll be there to speak on our behalf when we can't speak for ourselves, because we don't have a voice in that matter. We got to trust Jesus with our salvation, and we got to trust Jesus with our path and our protection while we're here on earth. So you can see that the favor is starting to move off of Saul, and it's starting to move to David. The favor moved from Saul to David. The anointing moved from Saul to David. Saul messed it up. Saul messed it up, and that was an opportunity for David. David wasn't looking for an opportunity. David was tending sheep. David didn't even, he didn't even look like a king. He just had a heart for God. Remember David? He would kill beasts with his bare hands, and he trusted God to protect him and to protect the sheep. David, when a whole army was cowering down against the Philistines, against the giant Goliath, David was the one that says, "Hey, there's a cause here, and I'm not really worried about me. I'm worried about the cause, and I'm willing to go sacrifice myself for the cause, but it'll be okay because my God's able." And oh, by the way, keep your armor, because I haven't tried it. But what I have tried is my God, and I'll just take that. And if you smooth the stone, now I'll go handle this business. So David had that favor moved over to him. And in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, it says, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands.'" No longer was favor preceding Saul. No longer was he goodly and higher than the rest. No longer, when he came through a crowd, was he the brightest shining person in the crowd. That favor had moved to David. So it just tells me that it was never Saul after all. It was God's anointing on Saul. It was never Saul after all. And if you've prospered in your life, and you've had good things happen to you in your life, and you're in pretty good shape, and you have people that favor you, and you've accomplished something, it never was you after all. Just like it wasn't Saul, and just like it wasn't David. Because when David started reaching for the things that didn't belong to him, his mess, he started getting a mess, and things started falling apart. And all kind of bad things happened in his life and in his family. We should take caution. We should take caution from these Bible stories. So, it says in chapter 15, verse 35 of 1 Samuel. I know I'm all over the place tonight. "The Lord repented that he made Saul king." In verse 35, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul." He asked him out. Until the day of his death. "Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he made Saul king over Israel." My prayer is, may the Lord never repent that he's given me favor in my life. May I never mess that up. May we never mess that up. And it scares me that we have the ability to mess it up. So, without the connection, Saul could not get God's help. No connection, no direction. No connection, no protection. So, in chapter 28, verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not." I'm going to give you all time to get there. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." He couldn't hear God anymore. He had no connection. He could not get direction. So let's flip over, and the last place I'll go is 1 Samuel 31, verse 1. 1 Samuel 31, verse 1. 1 Samuel 31, verse 1. "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons." Not just Saul, but upon his family. Our family gets protection from us. It matters. It matters how we conduct ourselves. It matters to our family. It's mattered to me how my predecessors in my family conducted themselves. It affected my life, and it affected my kids' life. And it'll affect your life, and it'll affect your kids' life, and your grandkids' life, and your great-grandkids' life, the way you conduct right now. But Randy, that's just the way we are in my family. We're just that way. Really? Won't you break it? Won't you break it and not use that as an excuse? Won't you count on the Lord and be what the Lord wants you to be? And break that tradition and break that trend and set your family line up for something different? That'd be alright, wouldn't it? We don't have to be a victim to those that went before us. God can overcome that. God has examples of where He grafted us in. He flows another blood through us, through Jesus Christ, that will cause us to produce the fruit of the tree that we're grafted into. Yeah. Yeah. You can do that in the physical world. You can graft in the branch of one tree, and if you do it right, it'll bear the fruit of the tree that has the roots. It'll bear the fruit of the tree that has the roots. And we will too. So they followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and his other son and his other son and all of Saul's sons. In verse 3, and the battle went sore against Saul. It went bad. That means it went bad. It went sore. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Saul died alone. He died alone. May our decisions never put us in a position where we have to die alone. Without connection to God, where we can't hear God, and where our family is suffering around us, and we have to watch that situation happen. May that never happen to us. And it all started with arrogance. It started with arrogance, with Saul getting big, too big for his britches. So protect your connection. You lose your connection, you lose it all. Thank you for your attention.